Well, amen. Praise the Lord again for the special tonight and the music that we've enjoyed. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 10, Wednesday nights, we've been going through for some time now in a series on the life of Joshua, and there's been so much that we have already learned, and that learning what the Bible says and then understanding how it is to be applied to our own lives. And we studied Joshua the man, first of all, and then looked into the book of Joshua. We've been going through and studying this. The promised land, the land of Canaan, understanding it's symbolic of the will of God. It was God's will for Israel to possess and to be able to receive the promised land that God had promised them. And all they had to do is just be obedient to God, and they could find themselves in the perfect will of God. And so the promised land of Canaan is not heaven, it is being in the will of God. And so we looked last, 2 weeks ago, our last lesson on in this, in the book of Joshua, is that God records two great miracles there for Joshua to be able to defeat the five kings as he went, been obedient to the covenant, and was going to go up and help Gibeon. And so there was five kings that come against them. And so God performed two miracles. The first is the smart bombs, the hailstones that only hit the heads of the enemy. Amen. And so no doubt when Joshua and all the men were seeing this, they were encouraged by what God was doing as they seen this right before their eyes. But then even the greater miracle than that is that God stopped the rotation of the earth. Joshua didn't even know what he was asking God to do when he wanted more daylight. And yet we today, we know what it would have taken to be able to give him the double the daylight, and which helps us to understand that there's nothing that our God cannot do. And if it is to keep you in the will of God, whatever it takes, amen. God can answer those prayers. God can work in our lives. Well, tonight we're looking here to the next passage of Scripture here, Joshua chapter 10. We're going to be reading verse 15 down to verse 27. So if you go ahead and stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Chapter 10 and verse 15. And Joshua returned, and all of Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave of Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies. And smite the hindmost of them, suffer them not to enter into their cities. For the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. And none moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went before him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherewith they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you once again, what a blessing it is to be in church every opportunity that we can be in church. And we look forward to being able to just assemble together and to sing praises unto thy name and be ministered through the music and all these things we've already enjoyed here this evening. But then, Father, as we have opportunity to open up the Word of God and preach and teach what you have for us, I pray, God, that you would continue to work in and through it. I pray tonight, God, that you would give each one an ear to hear and a heart to make an application to whatever messages you have for them. Pray that you would empower the preaching once again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Several things here as we study this next passage of Scriptures we're going through. Verse 15 to verse 20, we find here that they were to stay on task until the task was finished. And so often we know the will of God, and yet we fail to stay on task until the job is finished. And we can't get sidetracked. And, of course, there's certain things you can't avoid that you're going to have to deal with. But don't allow other things of less priority to get you off the main priority. We studied this a little bit a week or so ago concerning the priorities that God has given to us. But we need to do as we find that God is revealing to Joshua to do, and that is to stay on track. And Joshua is revealing this to his men of war. And they were to secure the kings. The kings, they come and told Joshua, the kings are hid over here, and possibly thinking, let's go and spend our time and dealing with the kings, for they're the ones, the leadership of what's going on that they need to address. But Joshua knew that God had given to them the people, the enemy, what they were supposed to be able to destroy. And they were carrying out God's judgment upon the inhabitants of Canaan. This was more than just the people of God in taking in and inheriting the promised land, but it was also God judging the sins of the inhabitants of Canaan. And as God was judging them, he was empowering Israel to be able to accomplish the judgments upon Canaan, and then they would have that land given to them by God, as God knew ahead of time that he had promised them this land of Canaan. And so the inhabitants of Canaan were being judged for their lifestyle. God has a disagreement with the lifestyle of humanity. You know, and we go back to the flood and we find exactly what God thought about man outside, that had no longer looked to him, and they were living with every thought of their minds and heart being evil. In the book of Deuteronomy, if you go back there with me in chapter 20, we find this was God's instructions to Israel as they would go into the land of Canaan. This is what they were to keep prioritize this. This is what they were supposed to be focused on. In chapter 20 and verse 16, but of the cities of this people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them. Namely, the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. This is what they had been commanded. When they go into the promised land, they go into the land of Canaan, the number one task, the number one priority, utterly destroy. That they teach you not to do after all their abominations. I don't want any of this influence to rub off on you. And so stay on task. That they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their God, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. Joshua understood that to be the task. That was to be what they were to keep as a priority. Now they're in here. God has already helped them and performed two miracles to be able to defeat these five kings, had them on the run. And the kings separate themselves, and so Joshua's made aware of that. He says, all right, let's secure, do what we need to. We are going to deal with them, but let's finish the task. Secure the kings, but don't stay there. Pursue after the enemy. I love that. You know, COVID has caused a lot of headaches for a lot of preachers around the country. It still is. Who knows? But the one thing we can't allow is to let it deter us as the church from accomplishing what God has us here to accomplish within His perfect will. God has a perfect will for individuals. He has a perfect will for His church collectively as individuals, as believers coming together. We cannot lose sight of that. Stay focused on that. Have to deal with what we have to deal with, but don't let it get you off task. Amen. So we find that's the first thing we see here. That's the first thing that takes place here on this next passage of Scripture with Joshua. In order to stay in the will of God, you had to stay on task. You have to know what the will of God is for your life. If you don't know what the will of God is for your life, then you're more apt to get sidetracked. And we can't get sidetracked. We got to stay on task until the task has been finished. Verse 20 and verse 21. I love this here. This is something that's going to help us as a church. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter. They pursued after them. They had a great slaughter. The rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. Now, God helped us to see that because great slaughter, you think that none of them got to the fenced cities. That was what they were trying to prevent. They were to keep them from getting to their fenced cities. They're supposed to slaughter them before they would get to that place. Well, some of them didn't, even though the Bible says that till they were consumed and they pursued. Possibly what he's saying is they did all that they could do. And all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Makkedah in peace, and none moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Now, if you're just reading that, you might read right over it and fail to apply the message that God has for us in putting it there. Yeah. Unity and no murmurings. Wow. It wasn't perfect because some got away. Can I tell you, there's always going to be something that you can complain about? Constructive criticism, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. But to complain about something that can't be changed. Praise the Lord for this platform up here. I think we did a great job, but it's not perfect. So don't come to me and complain about something that is not perfect. just praise the Lord for what we have. Amen. Yeah, I know that you would have done something maybe different over here, a little something different over there. The doors maybe. Yeah. Everyone has opinions. Yeah, I think we just ought to say, praise the Lord. Let's enjoy what God's given to us. Some did escape. They were supposed to smite them before they enter. In verse 19, smite the hindmost of them, suffer them not to enter into their cities. And they slaughtered until they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into the fence. It wasn't perfect. But none moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. That's recorded for us. Amen. Praise God for unity. There's nothing that you could do for the mentality of the church, for the welfare of the leadership of the church, than to be unified. Every parent, I think of our two girls being growing up, and I'm thinking of Christmas. They always come to me, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? It was always the same thing. Love your sister. Get along. Love God, and I'm happy. Dad, come on, I know you want something else. No, seriously. Yeah. Now, later on in life, when you become a millionaire and you can buy me what I really want. I know. The greatest thing you can do for leadership, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, can I tell you, even in the United States of America, is unity. We're the United States of America. And to a certain point, if we lose sight of unity, we're going to lose some wars that are going to be very important to win. I think there's a lot of enemies around the world that are wanting to disrupt the unity of the United States of America. We got a lot of enemies that would love to disrupt the unity of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Praise God for unity. Psalms 133 and verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Not unity at all costs. You can't give up certain things. Again, priorities, keep them in line. We have to make sure that, as he did here, you have to understand what the will of God is, prioritize it, stay on track. But as you're staying on track, work on the unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Ephesians in chapter 4, and you know it, so just write it down. Let me read it to you. But Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That's on task. Understand the priorities. With all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep, as you're on task, let's stay on task and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yeah. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, every pastor wants their people to know these verses because it's better for the people if they apply these verses as well as the pastor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another as even also you do. Love your sister. Love your sister. Yeah, love your brother. work it out. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. But don't lose sight of this next sentence, and be at peace among yourselves. Wow. Best Christmas gift you could get, my wife and I, be at peace among yourselves. Amen. Yeah. I guarantee you, any pastor worth his salt would tell his congregation the very same thing. You don't know how much easier it is to preach to people that you believe love you and want to know the Word of God and want to apply the Word of God. Yeah, helps me out. Like I said, if you don't love me, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Yeah, I want to preach as if everyone out in the congregation loves me and wants to hear what God has placed on my heart to preach to you. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. Unity in Christianity is needed, starting with the church, starting with individual families, and coming together and encouraging one another. We need these kind of churches, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. There's going to be differences in certain things, but we need these kind of churches all around the world more today than ever before in the New Testament church age. Wow. Go back with me and look at our text here tonight, because God had that there for us. There's no doubt about that. Then he says in verse 22 and verse 25, concerning the judgment of the kings. Now to that place, now that they've stayed on task, now moving forward, this is priority now. This is the next priority for them now, to deal with the kings. Verse 22. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, and the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. It came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. Really? Yeah. When dealing with the kings, he brings them out, and he brings in all the leadership of the men of his army here, and he brings them together and says, I want you to go to these kings, put your feet on their necks. They came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said to them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. The kings were to be seen as God wants all those who would be against them to be seen. Anyone that would try to, trying to hinder you from doing God's will for your life, collectively doing God's will for the church and for Christianity. The kings were to be seen as God wanted all who would be against them to be seen. God Can I tell you that you and God are a majority? Amen. And what's most important in that relationship is you knowing that you are doing God's will. Put your feet upon their necks. Can you imagine your enemy? And now that they've done you wrong and you've feared that to some extent of what they're going to do, and God tells you to put your foot on their neck. When you got your foot on your enemy's neck, can I tell you, you don't fear your enemy? If God be for us, who can be against us? And I tell you, that's something you have to keep on your mind. If I know that God is for me, I'm doing what God would have me to do. It doesn't matter who's against me. Because my relationship with God is what matters most of all, and me and God make a majority. Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6. Let me just read this to you. Hebrews in chapter 13. Very, again, well-known passage of Scripture. I think it's applicable right here. In verse 5, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, and that word boldly there needs to be emphasized, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Put your foot on the neck of that, whoever it is that you're fearful of. Not literally. But that's how you need to address it. I'm not going to let him sidetrack me. I'm not going to let them sidetrack me. I'm going to stay on task. And what's most important is what God wants me to do. Now, again, God's not going to lead you opposite his word. So make sure that you understand exactly what this Bible is saying and how you're applying it and making sure that you have God on your side. But if you know that it is God that is leading you, and that is what's most important for the rest of your life. Yeah. Go back in our last two verses here. Last two verses here, verse 26 and verse 27. So Joshua has them come. He puts her feet on the necks. He symbolizes, don't fear them. This is the rest. From now on, the rest of your enemies, don't fear them. You've seen what God's able to do? God gave you double the daylight. God sent these hailstones down. God's able to do whatever it is that you need to have done to fulfill what God's called you to do. Don't fear those. Understand who your enemies are. Don't fear them. Make sure that you're in unity with the brethren. Don't fear those that are against you. And then in Hebrews, go back over to chapter 10, verse 26. And afterward, Joshua smote them and slew them, hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. It came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this day. Judgment is not intended to be pleasant. It's not. It is done out of necessity. their judgment as representing God to these five kings was according to God's law. If you're going to retain God's power and God's blessings upon your life, you got to know that you're doing it according to God's word. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22 and verse 23. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. These five kings, no doubt, they'd done things worthy of death. They hung him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Joshua went by the letter of the law. Everything he did, by the letter of the law, he understood it. He knew what God's will was. He knew where he stood in doing it God's way. He led the nation of Israel to stay on task. He had them come, help them to see, we don't have to fear anybody as long as we have God on our side. Because we make a majority. And our God's able to do all things. Laws protect life and possessions. Without law, you're going to see the murder. Percentage of murder rate rise all around the country. Are we not seeing that? How in the world did they think it was going to be any different? Chicago, $60 million in defunding the police, and then they have to call in the National Guard to help with a murder problem. If you don't have law and order, you don't have what a society needs to be strong. First Peter chapter 2. Let me read this to you. We're almost done here, so follow with me here. First Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That means it's got to be in agreement with God's word. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, the punishment. There has to be punishment. And for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Because we need law and order. Yeah. But in closing, concerning this, man does not always get it right. You're judged wrongly. Sometimes you have to suffer the consequences of wrong judgment. There's no doubt there's people in prison that falsely accused. And no doubt there's murderers that have gotten by with murder. And they're running free today. And so we say, well, let's just chuck the law. Let's all be vigilantes and do it our way. No. Man does not always get it right. But one thing we can know, God does. The first thing and to understand that God does, God's established a spiritual law that even the lost of the world will live by the spiritual law. It's what God has established. It's found over in the book of Galatians in chapter 6. Galatians in chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Don't think you got by with something. Just because man judged you or failed to judge you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever, and this is a spiritual law that God has established, for whatsoever, that's whatsoever, that's whatever it is, a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's established. A lot of people call it a lot of different things. Bottom line, it's God. Yeah. Behold, your sin will find you out. That's Numbers in 32, verse 20. That is the very same thing as this in the New Testament, because it's always been a part of a spiritual law. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And outside of God's spiritual law that we all will live by, there's also what God has established after death. In Hebrews, in chapter 9, in verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die. Everybody. But after this, the judgment. You might have not been judged accordingly before death, but the Bible says that it falls into the hands of God for everyone after death. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, the first would be for those believers, the saved. Can I tell you that there's going to be a judgment after death for the believers? That'll take place, I believe, after the rapture of the church, but the Bible is very clear on this. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 10, it says this, for we believers, Paul's writing to the believers in Corinth, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Don't have time to get into all of it. Just know this, even as a born-again believer. Your sin will find you out. And there will be a judgment for the believers after the rapture. And then, of course, the main judgment that ends all judgments is Revelation chapter 20. This would be for those who never received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In chapter 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. There's books concerning a degree of judgment, even for the lost. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. judgment not intended to be pleasant, but it's necessary. We need to understand it. Joshua, leading the nation of Israel into the perfect will of God, the land of Canaan, and all that took place, wow, for our learning. So we might apply whatever it is we need to apply from the biblical principles that are being presented. If I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. God's recorded what took place there and what happened to the judgments of these five kings. I trust we can learn from that. Just make sure that we're in the will of God. Stay on task. We have God to look to. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, as we have studied this passage of scripture in the life of Joshua, that we might be able to learn of what you have given to us and then these principles and be able to apply them to our lives even tonight. God, if you know what's taking place, and I trust if there's anyone that needs to make decisions tonight, that they would make them during this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.